everyone. It is Stacy. And all this week, we are running our favorite indicators from the year. Today, an episode that originally aired in March, it is called Hurricane Joseph and the Calculator the Time Forgot. It is standardized testing season.
Woohoo! Good luck, kids.
I know. It's a very fraught time of year. And we thought this would be the perfect time to explore this really interesting little economic story about creative destruction.
Creative destruction. That is the idea that the economy is always evolving, that there are new products that are constantly being invented, and those inventions make the old products obsolete.
And this force is usually pretty inescapable. The movie reel becomes the video cassette, becomes the DVD, becomes online streaming. Things are always getting more convenient, faster, easier, cheaper. But there are little pockets of the economy where the laws of creative destruction are suspended, like little islands of old schoolness, places where being old and outdated is a competitive advantage. This is The Indicator. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And Cardiff, today's indicator is 1994. Take yourself back. Bill Clinton was president. A stamp cost 29 cents. And the SATs decided to allow students to use graphing calculators on standardized tests.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Slack. Slack is a collaboration hub for work that makes sure the right people in your team are always in the loop and key information is always at their fingertips. Learn more at slack.com.
So, Cardiff, I don't know what your living room looked like when you were a kid growing up, but if we took a time machine back to my childhood home, the technology would seem pretty amazing right now. I had in my room, of course, a boombox. It was pink. It took a lot of D batteries. We had a VHS player. We had a landline telephone with an answer machine that played these little tapes. We had a family computer. It was enormous, and it was beige, and it weighed like a million pounds, and it was connected to a dot matrix printer.
I remember those days.
And none of that technology is around today. And the reason it is not around? Creative destruction.
A phrase that an economist named Joseph Schumpeter came up with.
Mark Perry is an economist at the American Enterprise Institute. He writes a blog called Carpe Diem. And he says creative destruction can be this really difficult and destructive force in an economy, but it's also a really positive force in an economy.
Creative destruction is this continual and powerful and very positive force in a market economy that just reflects the dynamism and changes in technology and all different types of fields. And so sometimes on my blog, I call it Hurricane Joseph. It's just these gales of creative destruction that are kind of disrupting markets.
Hurricane Joseph.
Oh, economists, never change.
And creative destruction is why none of the technology from my childhood exists today. Except, Cardiff, it's all coming back around.
Mm-hmm.
The graphing calculator.
What?
I know. Do you remember your graphing calculator? There was big calculators. They were like the size of a Hershey bar.
Yeah.
And like four Hershey bars thick.
They were like the original iPads, but without being able to do anything except give you a nice cosine graph or
right.
Whatever.
They could do calculus and absolutely nothing else. But they had a big screen and you could type equations into it and it would graph them out on an X
yeah.
or Y axis. I remember mine well. We spent a lot of time together, me and my graphing calculator. And I looked on Amazon the other day and TI is still making these calculators and so is Casio. And Cardiff, they look exactly the same.
Really?
I'm going to show you this. You are not.
And they still work?
Even going to believe it. No, these are new. I mean, hopefully they work.
It appears to be every bit as complicated and like as dense with tiny buttons as I remember it.
So yes, you're not wrong in thinking it kind of has the same look and feel.
Peter Belita is the president of education technology at Texas Instruments.
We could easily add features to our calculators like a touchscreen, Wi-Fi, or a camera, but we don't.
I mean, there are blenders that can connect to the internet.
My blender connects to the internet.
Well done.
Thank you.
Mine is still quite analog, I'm afraid. But the idea that a piece of modern technology would not connect to the internet is almost unthinkable these days. And yet, that fact is what makes these calculators special. In fact, if the graphing calculator were connected to the internet, it would be less valuable. There wouldn't even be a reason for its existence.
because it can compromise the test security and really detract from what the calculators are designed to do.
The graphing calculator did once represent cutting-edge technology, and it took standardized test designers years before they would allow graphing calculators to be used on their tests. These test makers worried that the calculators would give students an unfair advantage. Now it's exactly the opposite. Graphing calculators are pretty much the only technology that standardized test makers will allow. Because unlike smartphones or laptops, the graphing calculator is not connected to the internet.
Yes, its value lies in the fact that technology skipped over it. And speaking of value, people pay a lot for this anachronistic technology. Most graphing calculators cost around $100, which is about what I paid when I got mine. But back then, the technology was really cutting edge. And now you can buy devices that will do far more for far less money. And I asked Peter at TI about this. It does seem like the price hasn't gone down that much. It seems like the price, you know, considering the technology involved, maybe should have gone down more.
You know, I will say that when someone's buying a graphing calculator, they're not just buying a graphing calculator. They're buying really a solution for a classroom.
Yeah, plus if you think about it, high school calculus and physics students are a captive market. Texas Instruments sells around 6 million graphing calculators a year. Mark says Hurricane Joseph is usually inescapable, but these are like islands of isolated peoples where creative destruction doesn't reach.
Kind of really interesting products to just think about or appreciate, I guess, for their ability to stay frozen in time after many, many decades and over a generation of change that's disrupted everything else.
These calculators are giant and bulky, and students basically are forced to buy them for school. They also look like something from another era. And honestly, given the archaic technology they used, they're still pretty expensive. But Peter Belita says a lot of people still get attached to them, a lot of students. He says he gets calls and letters from them all the time. And he's got a theory as to why some people seem to love their graphing calculators.
I think it's a tool, you know, that they have had with them by their side when studying, you know, what are not always the easiest classes, you know, math, science, you know, calculus, you know, those are long nights and it require a lot of hard work, and always right by their side is their TI graphing calculator.
Peter says he sees a lot of photos of students who are dressing up like graphing calculators for Halloween or using them in clubs and games, and he says there's like this big trend in using them in promposals. That's a thing. By the way, the idea for this episode came from a listener, Thomas Halleck. After this episode aired in March, we got all kinds of awesome pictures of people with their graphing calculators, and they were amazing. We loved them. There is something about a picture of someone with their graphing calculator that is just the most awesome and charming thing in the world. We are posting these photos online. You can check them out on our Instagram account. That is at Planet Money. And if you have a graphing calculator, please send us a photo of you with your graphing calculator. We love these. Our email address is indicator@npr.org.